Good morning, everyone. just some quick announcements. If you guys got a bulletin, hopefully you did on your way in, we do encourage you guys to hold these, keep them in your Bibles, so you can know what's going on here. We are fast approaching our golf scramble, annual golf scramble that we do each and every year to raise funds for our missions ministry. So it's been a really good year. A lot of things are happening, and we've already got, I think, 9 teams of golfers, but there's still time if you want to participate. It's a golf scramble, a group of 4. It's $85 per golfer. And then also there's probably, I think there may be 4 or so holes left for sponsorships. If anybody wants to sponsor a hole personally, or if you know of a business that may want to support in some way, we put a sign on each hole so that they get that notification or that recognition at each of the holes. So that's coming up Saturday, July 27th. It starts about 7 a.m. The golf thing actually starts around 8 after practice and all. And prayer, but we'd love you guys to come on out and participate in that. And then just wanted to remind you, there was a little bit of a typo in this week's bulletin, but July 21st, next Sunday, will be our church breakfast. So at 8:45, there'll be a breakfast out there in the corridor. So if you do want to enjoy that, please come a little bit early so you can participate in that. And as well, we have a men's breakfast coming up Saturday, August 3rd. All of this information can also be found on our website. If you want to participate in any of these things, you can just sign up on the bottom of that bulletin and drop it in the box, and we'll let you know more information as things change. That's it in the way of announcements. If you would open your Bibles with me to Acts. We are in Acts today, this morning, in Acts chapter 5. If you have need of a Bible, as always, just simply raise a hand. Let someone know that you have a need of one, and they will hand one to you. There is a bulletin in those Bibles as well, and that should be bookmarked right where we are going to be studying today's word in Acts chapter 5. We'll be picking up in verse 12. It's where we left off a couple weeks ago when we were in Acts. So I have Bible ready there. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we just take a moment in our busy lives to bow our heads, bow our hearts, bow our lives really before you, God. We are so grateful that we recognize you as the Creator, that we recognize you as our God, our Savior, and our Lord. And I pray that that would be truly real for each and every person here. That our commitment is to you, not to a church, not to an organization. Our commitment is to Christ. And for that reason, we come with Bibles open. For we know that the Bible holds the very words of life. We pray, God, as we study this area, that it would become alive to us, that as this church, this new church, is being birthed in Acts chapter 5, I pray, God, that the things that we're going to see, the things that are happening in this early church, would also happen in our individual lives. The truth that the Holy Spirit is alive, the truth that the Holy Spirit gives power to believers, is not just a New Testament idea. It's a life, a Christian idea that we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we need to submit to Him. And so for that reason, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would have your way in this place, that you would speak to us through your word, and that we would be blessed, and that we would leave here not forgetting the things that we've heard. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would remind us in our time of need. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye, Micah. I'm calling people out all over the place today. CAJ, not just you. Exactly. The title of today's message is Never Underestimate the Holy Spirit. You probably heard it in my prayer. It's so important. As we go through the book of Acts, we just see the acts and the works of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is available to all of us. Those of you in this room who have given your lives to Christ, who have confessed your sins to Him, have been given the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that will always be with us. That He'll never leave us, never forsake us, and He's there to guide us and direct us. The Holy Spirit is a powerful part of who God is. He is God. He's not just an extra You know, we might think of God the Father, God the Son, and we certainly worship, but then do we forget about God the Holy Spirit? The one who's with us, the one that's there with you in those quiet places, the one that's with you, you know, in those scary places. He's there. And so it is a reminder for us to never underestimate the Holy Spirit. And this title could be Never Underestimate the Power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be witnesses for Jesus. Jesus said it himself. In John chapter 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Is there anybody in here that needs to be taught a few things? Holy Spirit will teach you a few things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I've always embraced this verse and asked the Holy Spirit to help me remember. This morning, someone told me a joke. And it's like, as soon as I have a great joke I got to tell you. And I'm not going to tell you the joke, but it made me think about people that tell me jokes. They're good jokes, but I can never remember them. And when he said that, I go, oh, I've got a good one that I don't remember. And it reminded me of this verse, like one of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to remind us, to remind me, to remind you what Jesus has said. We need that. I need that. And that should be a prayer of ours. Holy Spirit, remind me of what the Word of God says, what Jesus himself said. Because who in this room knows that there's maybe a lot of man's wisdom out there, but only God's wisdom can really sustain the test of time, can really be powerful. And the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of that. Yes, it's great to have brothers and sisters in Christ that'll help remind you and help encourage you in your faith. But there is someone that is closer to you than a brother, and that is the Holy Spirit. It is there to speak to us. So again, never underestimate the Holy Spirit. He's there for you. You never have to feel alone. You never have to feel abandoned by God because he's there with you. The question is, are we listening? The question is, are we seeking him? Right? I mean, if he says he'll bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, then it's just a matter of when you have a question, Holy Spirit, what's the answer? Oftentimes, it's leading us to what Jesus said and what the Word says. I need reminding. Do you? I need reminding. So maybe just the title this morning, Never Underestimate the Holy Spirit. Maybe for some of us in the room, we've underestimated the Holy Spirit. We think, oh, it's just the Spirit doesn't use me, or the Spirit isn't with me, or the Spirit doesn't speak to me. I can assure you the Spirit always speaks. In fact, right now, the Spirit is speaking to you through the Word of God, through the message that God is delivering through me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Question is, are you listening? Question is, are you absorbing what he's saying? Because there's a lot of us in this room that can kind of give excuses or, you know, say, well, that's not true, or I don't feel that way. Ever say that to yourself? I don't feel like it. Thank God we don't do things based on what we feel. Let's hope we don't. Without the Holy Spirit, we become powerless. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to remind you of things. And he's going to teach you all things. God, we need to be taught. Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us. Billy Graham says this, the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. Billy Graham always has a way of making it sound very simple. The Holy Spirit's job is to illuminate our minds, to make us yearn more for God. I asked you this morning when you woke up, were you yearning for God more than you were yearning for coffee? More than you were yearning for breakfast? I'll admit, this morning I was yearning for a little bit more sleep. But I said, Holy Spirit, wake me up. And he did. All of a sudden it got very hot in my bedroom, and I was like, okay, I'm up. God has a way of getting our attention. It is a wrong belief to think that Father, Son is first and Holy Spirit is secondary. They are three equal persons of the Godhead. And you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit just like you have a relationship with the Father, just like you have a relationship with Jesus. And that is such a great reminder to have that relationship equal. The uniqueness of the Holy Spirit is that he's in you, and that's a beautiful thing. Jesus said before he ascended to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within you. So you have him if you believe. And he empowers you to live a life of victory. When you feel defeated, you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you. I don't think believers should ever feel defeated. We can get discouraged, we can feel down, but we should always remind ourselves, I've got God in my life. We get to live forever. I forget what it was. It was just the other day. I was talking, friends of ours were talking, and we were talking about how things are bad and things are tough, and maybe it was we were talking about all of our physical ailments or something. And I just looked and said, man, isn't it going to be great when we get to heaven? And every single, yes, I can't wait to get to heaven. That's the hope that we have. Better days are ahead. Having the Holy Spirit with you means having the power to be a witness for Christ. See, you don't have to work it up in your own self. You don't have to say, I've got to be a bold witness. I've got to make sure I'm talking to people about Christ. The Holy Spirit will do that through you, very naturally, very casually. You just be yourself. Let God use you, and he will. It's a beautiful thing. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples. The Holy Spirit will help you make disciples. And when Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always, he's speaking of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Never underestimate the Holy Spirit is what we're going to see here in Acts chapter 5. Because the disciples, we left last time, the first half of chapter 5, basically had the Ananias and Sapphira incident. Lying to the Holy Spirit. Steep consequences, wouldn't you admit? I would imagine that rattled the church, didn't it? Well, look what it did. Look what Acts chapter 5, verse 12 says. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. Please note with me this next line. And they were all healed. When we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that the Holy Spirit displayed in this particular incident was without question a work of the Holy Spirit. Every single person that was brought there that was healed or that was demon-possessed was healed. Every single one. See, we would love to see this happen in the church, wouldn't we? When we read the book of Acts, we want to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and do amazing things. And there's people in here who are hurting physically that we would love to lay hands on and they would be healed instantly. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit can still do that. But I also believe it was so important in the early days of the church because it was revealing the power of who God really was. They did not have a Bible to carry around with them, my friends. We in America have more things available to us that show us and teach us about God that we don't need signs and wonders, although I believe God still can do that. And I still see God do that in ways. But it doesn't have to be the norm because he has given us his word in totality. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. So when we read the book of Acts, yes, it's exciting. I want to see signs and wonders be done through my life, don't you? But do you know a faithful Christian? You being faithful in your marriage, you being faithful to your employer, you being faithful to your neighbors is powerful enough, is a sign and a wonder. And don't miss it. Again in verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. It's hard to get two people to agree in America today. And they're all with one accord. They're all united. Guys, to me, this is the greater sign, the greater wonder. that we would all be united in our vision, in our desire to see God work through us. If every single person in this room that possesses the Holy Spirit in their hearts would be submitted to the Holy Spirit to be used by God, people's lives would be transformed and changed. But what happens? Life happens. Difficulties happen. Physical things happen. Cancers happen. Sicknesses happen. Finances happen. Life happens. But Jesus said, in this world you will face trouble, but be of good cheer. So when you are going through something difficult, it's not going to make it necessarily easier, but it's going to help you endure it when you go, Holy Spirit, use me. Holy Spirit, empower me. Reveal to me your truth. See, what I see in this first section, when it comes to never underestimate the Holy Spirit, I want you to ask yourself this question. Does your presence inspire faith? Does your physical presence in your workplace, in your church, in your pastimes, does your physical presence encourage faith? I was talking to a friend this week who found out that her father, his cancer came back. And you could see she was just burdened with it. And I talked to her yesterday, and I said, how you doing? And she goes, I'm doing okay. I said, well, you just got to trust that God's using this for a reason. I mean, again, I was just reading this area of scripture. I'm like, God uses difficult situations to get his will to be done. And this person said to me, how do you do it? How are you always so positive? And I got to be honest. I don't know. I've always been like that. I just think God knitted it in me. I'm thankful for it. I know it frustrates some people. But anybody who knows me knows I don't rarely get mad. When my wife says, why are you getting mad at me? I'm like, have I ever been mad at you? Other than those two times? Maybe five. Okay. Again, I can't remember. I just saw Minnie Mouse over there. I just got a little distracted. Oops. Your presence can change people's perspective. Is the point. The disciples, again, the apostles were just there. Ananias and Sapphira's situation happened. They both die. The church is going, oh my goodness. What really God used that as an opportunity to get people to really understand true faith. God doesn't want fluffy Christians. He wants Christians that are committed to Christ. And for that, we even see it. Verse 13 says, yet none of the rest dared join them. There was fear in the church. And the last time we talked about it, I think it's good to have fear, don't you? Fear that God sees everything that you're doing. Fear that God knows every thought that you're having. It helps us live those lives of purity that God wants us to have. I think God wants you, because he's given you the Holy Spirit, to make a difference in the people around you. Smile. Be nice. Be pleasant to people. It's so amazingly important. People need to hear this. You know, it says in verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were being done. And I just want to remind you that it was in Acts chapter 4 that this is what they asked for. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that we with boldness may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I don't think God would ever reject this prayer if you prayed it yourself. God, see what people are doing to me, and put your hand upon me, and help me to do things that bring glory and honor to you. Guys, I'm telling you, as much as it's happening in the lives of the apostles, it can happen in our lives today. We can make a difference. And it does, again, it doesn't have to be a sign and a wonder. It can just be the peace that surpasses understanding. That's what people need today, is peace. So is your presence inspiring faith? Because even though there were some that didn't follow, notice it says in verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Luke likes to tell us, Ananias and Sapphira lost their life. But there were still men and women that were coming to the Lord. The reality is, God wants your whole heart. He wants your whole being. He wants everything about you to be available to Him. I'm ringing. Look at verse 15 again. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now, I want to draw to your attention. The Bible does not say that Peter's shadow healed anybody. Sometimes we read that and we think, oh, man, the power that was in Peter's shadow. Listen, I would love it if my shadow touched something and healed it. That'd be pretty amazing, right? But it really wasn't necessarily Peter or his shadow. It was Peter's faith in God. And it was the people's faith in Peter's faith that gave them the healing. Now, in these days, there were those that thought that there was something special or some power in a shadow. So it wasn't uncommon for people to think this. But I want you to know there is no power in a shadow. There's no power in Peter's shadow. But there is power in Peter himself, the faith that he had in God. He's a man of prayer. He's a man that's being used by God. And because of his faith, he inspired faith in others. So that they said, if you're sick, just get near Peter. I get holy goosebumps to think that if someone could just be in my presence, that they would be healed. That would be amazing. But notice it's all for the glory of God. Not us. I've always said, God, don't ever give me the gift of healing because I will abuse it. Right? If I had the gift of healing, I can assure you, I would be charging you to heal you. I would use it. It would be on our website. Pastor Rob can heal. Come see him, and he'll lay hands on you and heal you. That's what we do. I mean, we abuse the healing. That's why I don't think we see it in the United States, because God has given us enough for our faith that we don't need to abuse it. But God can still do it. So I ask you, is your presence making a difference in people's life? Are you creating fruit, or are you damaging fruit? Because just as much as our presence can influence people positively, our presence can influence people negatively, can't it? And that is a darn right shame. If you are a believer in God, you should be instilling joy, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the things that should be coming out of your life. And some of them in here is going, but you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand my past. I don't have to understand your past, because I know your future. I know the potential of your future to make a difference. God has done so much for you. Let's do some for Him. They brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. They were pouring in. Notice again it says in verse 16, also a multitude gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem. They were coming from next door. The people were coming to them. And healings were being done. Sick people and those tormented by unclean spirits. Who do you know in your life that's either sick or being tormented by the world or the enemy, that you just sitting down and having a cup of coffee with can make a difference in their life? It just takes some time. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. These people were believing that they would be healed, and God did it. Now, I'm going to tell you, unfortunately, in my past, I've seen some churches, some pastors and churches fall into sin and lose their churches. And inevitably, the question is always, well, how could God use that person while they were in sin? And the reality is, God's word is more powerful than any sin we can commit. And if you are using and sharing the word of God, that's the difference. We're broken vessels. We're nothing but clay pots. We're filthy rags. So don't ever get on your high horse and go, hey, God uses me. No, 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 no. God uses donkeys, and you know what those are. So it's like, duh, God's word will happen. Don't disqualify yourself because of maybe something you've done in the past. Some people might, well, you don't understand what I did in my past. It doesn't matter. God erased it. God forgot it. Now you need to, and move on, and be used. And that's what he can do if we let him. Peter understood where the power came from. The people thought it was his shadow. But it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, we read it, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It was the lame man at the gate. Peter says, it's not us. We didn't do anything. It was Jesus. So we can't get on our high horses because it's Jesus that does the work. And let's not forget Jesus himself in Luke chapter 8 says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood, means all her money, on physicians and could not be healed by any, anybody got an amen there? Came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Was there power in the hem? Was there power in the... I mean, we know Jesus has power, but was there power in that? No, it was her faith that if she could just touch him, that she would be healed. And it was her faith. Guys, it's our faith in God that opens up the opportunity for a healing. Don't forget, it's not guaranteed. I can tell you, when I was going through my back issue last year, I was a man of prayer. It's funny when we go through things, how we become people of prayer. It's like, Lord, please, I can't tell you the number of times I laid in my living room floor crying out to God, please, Lord, I know you can, please do it. And he didn't. So he doesn't always do it, but I still had the faith and the belief that he could. And sometimes, guys, that's enough to get you through, just to have the faith to believe. This woman believed that if she could just get to Jesus, she would be healed. So it doesn't take a lot of faith. It's our job to stir up that faith and instill that faith. That's the important thing. I love the fact that they were all healed. There wasn't one that came with that faith and was rejected. And that was a testament to the goodness and the grace of God. You serve a God that can heal everyone. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And honestly, the salvation that he's given to you is so much more than enough, isn't it? To know that you will not spend all of eternity separated from God in the fires of hell, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. I can't wait to get to heaven and forget all about the stuff of this world and just sit there and worship the Lord Jesus. Just sit there and worship. It's going to be well worth it, my friends. Well worth it. Let's move on. Verse 17. Listen, when God does an amazing work, opposition always comes. Look at verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, jealousy, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, just two verses, but opposition always comes. The enemy always wants to thwart the work of God. And what I want to submit to all of us is the fact that I don't see the Bible tell us this, but I don't believe the disciples were discouraged by this. In fact, if you jump down, where are we here? If you jump down to verse 40, where is it? 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. See, signs and wonders were happening. Everybody was getting healed. Can you imagine the apostles? They must have been going, it's a good day at church today. I mean, everybody's being healed. People are coming into the church, and God is pouring out his spirit, and he's doing an amazing work. And then the religious leaders, the ones that are supposed to be sharing the truths of God, are filled with jealousy. Jealousy is a cancer that will destroy the work of God. Don't ever Let's never get in a place where we hinder the work of God because it's not happening to us or through us. They were jealous because of healing. I mean, they were witnessing amazing healings, and they're going to put these people in prison. Can you imagine how hard your heart has to get for you to see the work of God and try to stop it? But I love the fact that the disciples are like, we are under the authority of God, we are in God's hands, and whatever's happening to us has happened to us for a reason. And really, guys, for us as believers, that's probably one of the hardest things for us to reconcile in our minds. That when bad things happen to good people, why is that? Can I submit to you? Again, never underestimate the Holy Spirit. That no matter what situation you're in right now, God is at work. God is putting things in place. God's doing something. God will make it and use it for a purpose. There's a lot of bad things that have happened in my life, but God took those bad things and turned them into good. And I'm very thankful for that. So in the season when the struggle is there, put your faith in God, right? My favorite verse is on this ring. It's Psalm 37, verse 5. It says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. I love the fact that that Bible verse has to remind me that commit them to him, but then trust them with them. Because are we not notorious for giving something to God and immediately turning around and saying, okay, I'll take it back now. I get an amen for that? Okay, not. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. It's like we take it back. Why? Because it's not going fast enough, God. It's not happening soon enough, God. You know my heart, God. I know people, Christians, that when they're struggling with a sin in their life, they pray to God to take it away, and pray to God to take it away, only to come to the resolution that if God doesn't take it away, that he must want me to still have it. Are you kidding me? Now, sometimes we have to live with the temptation. Sometimes we have to live with the difficulties in our life so that we can show that being faithful in the tough times is as easy as being faithful in the good times, right? How they were trusting in God. I want you to remind you this. There will always be those who embrace truth as well as those that will reject truth. These religious leaders were rejecting truth. As witnesses of Jesus, it is not our responsibility how people respond, as hard as that is. You know, you share scripture, you share your testimony, you feel the Holy Spirit on you, and people just, I don't want anything to do with that. And then we feel like we've done something wrong. Don't ever feel, you do what God leads you to do, and you leave the rest up to God. It's not our responsibility how they respond. It's our responsibility to simply be used by the Holy Spirit. To be okay with, I've done my part, God, now you do yours. I know that's difficult because we want to lead everyone to Christ, but not everybody is that way. This setback, I don't believe, hindered the apostles at all. And when you come to underestimating the Holy Spirit, I ask you, do setbacks bother you? Do they throw you off your game when things don't go your way? Because there was an amazing work of God right here, and then man stopped it. The enemy stopped it. Sometimes we have to look at it as an opportunity for God to show us if we can still be faithful. Show him that we can still be faithful. And then the last part, verse 19. I always love when there's a but in the Bible. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people. Look at this. All the words of life, of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. I'm going to pause right there because the rest of that verse to me is for the next section. So they're in prison. I don't think they were discouraged. I think they were just waiting for God to do whatever God wanted to do. Paul was famous for being in prison and still preaching the gospel and still singing psalms and hymns. So I think they were doing the very same thing. But then an angel shows up and sets them free. An angel of the Lord comes, opens the doors, and lets them out. But notice what he says. Opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. Guys, when God delivers you from something, he doesn't just deliver you from it so that you'll be at peace, so that you can be restful. I believe he delivers it from us so that we'll go do something with it. The angel of the Lord came, released them from prison and said, now go teach about Jesus, all the words of life. Guys, there's a responsibility that we have as believers when the Holy Spirit is using us to let other people know, to not just sit around and wait. Why is the tendency in all of us to get, God told me to do something, but now I'm going to wait a little while? Well, we're going to spiritualize it. We want to make sure it's God, right? Guys, when God tells you something, that is the time God wants you to do something. God doesn't tell you and then say, okay, now wait 6 months. Man might do that, but God doesn't. When God calls you, he's called you. When I first became a pastor, or when I felt called to be a pastor, I went to my pastor and I said, I feel like the Lord's put it upon my heart to be a pastor of a church. And I'll never forget the words of this man. He looked at me, he goes, if God's called you to be a pastor, then you be a pastor now. Because I was in Florida, so I was thinking, I'm going to be a pastor when I get to Nashville, and when I get a church, then I'll be a pastor. And how encouraging it was to me, if you're a pastor, if God's called you, then you pastor right now. And if you feel called to some type of ministry in the family of God, then be it. Don't wait for the station, don't wait for the position, you be that person. If you're called to be a missionary Amen. At your workplace. There's people in your workplace that need to know about Jesus. Practice there. Be a missionary in the children's ministry. Nobody likes to do that. Pastor Chuck said, if you can lead a child to Christ, you can lead anybody to Christ. I think that's wisdom right there. I think if you can keep a kid attentive for 45 minutes, you're anointed. But be that. Don't wait. We want to wait. We want to sit back. I am thankful. Suzelle's here, so I gotta utilize. I'm thankful that when you heard the call of God, you moved. Thank God you didn't wait 5 years. Look at what God has done in the time that you've been there. And if we waited, we wouldn't see that. I just think about in the spiritual realm how much unused potential, how much unused calls upon people's lives in this room are not being utilized because they've heard the call, but they're like, I'm hanging out, I'm gonna wait. Years ago, there was a guy at our church that felt called to start a Bible study. And for a year and a half, and I'm not even exaggerating, for a year and a half, he found every excuse not to start it. I'll start it next month. Okay, I'm busy right now, I'll do it next month. That month will go, I'm going to do it in 2 months. I'm going to wait till after the summer. I'm going to wait for after the holidays. Don't wait your entire life to answer a call of God and miss the opportunities God has for you. Don't underestimate the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, I'm not qualified. Then you're qualified. You get it? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I'm a witness of that. I hated, and I don't like to use the word hated, but I hated public speaking. I took it in college. It was the hardest class I had ever taken. I think my face was red for 3 months. You know, it's like, oh, I don't like public speaking. And when God called me, and this is not even a joke, I said, are you sure? Guys, don't wait to be ready. You'll never be ready. You'll always be busy. Be used by God. Be available to God. He will do it. Notice it says, okay, verse 19, that they, verse 21, sorry. And when they heard that, okay, they heard the call. When they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. They didn't wait around. They didn't wait a week. They didn't wait for the Sabbath. God told them, or the angel of the Lord told them to go and to share all the words of life. The very next morning, they show up in the temple. That's immediate. It's our job to be immediately responding to what God asks us to do. I just think we need to be ready to go at every moment. Whatever it is, be ready, be used. Blossom where you're planted and let God move you where he wants you. The enemy wants to give you every excuse why you shouldn't. God wants to give you one reason to do it, because I said so. It is so much more rewarding to do what God calls you to do. Do it. Better to try it and mess up than to not try it and never know what it could have been. I always say God works through mistakes. I'm living mistake. God's working through it. God can do that. God's big. You know, I'd love to be able to say this sermon tells us that, man, you put your faith in God, you pray to God, and all your answers will come true. But it's not true. The Bible is filled with people that didn't get their needs met. The Apostle Paul pleaded 3 times for a thorn in his flesh. A thorn in his flesh. God said, no, not going to do it. I mean, when you look at the disciples, Matthew was beheaded with a sword. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. Philip was hanged. Thomas was run through with a spear. Paul was beheaded in Rome. And that's only half the list. Anybody want to become a Christian? Get beheaded, get speared through. The Christian life isn't easy. And anybody that tells you it is not telling you the truth. The Christian life is hard, but it's possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, the submission to the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate his power. And when we say we want to wait, I got a story. Actually, it's right here. This wealthy inventor said, and it's up here, without exception, after I have invented something and patented it, at least 10 men come to me and say, I thought of that long ago. But the difference between their poverty and my wealth is that they thought about it, and I did it. That's not convicting. It's like, ooh, if God gives you the thought, move on it. Act on it. It's the same thing in our spiritual lives. If we're given all kinds of excuses why we shouldn't, God can't use us. We just got to say, Lord, if you're telling me to do it, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to take a step forward and see how it works. Be faithful to how God calls you to serve in his body. He will take care of all the details. And one day you'll look back and go, wow, look what God has done. Isn't that wonderful? Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear what he says and then go do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And how thankful we are that we hold a Bible in our hands that holds a story in Acts chapter 5 and reminds us of the working of the Holy Spirit. The birth of the church and the Holy Spirit was at work doing mighty things, signs and wonders through the apostles. And we are thankful for people like Peter, John, James, all of those faithful believers. But we know, God, it's not them that our attention or focus should be upon. We know it's always about you. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power that you've given us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you dwell in us. And I pray that this week, as we go through this thing called life, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Holy Spirit, if you tell us to stop, I pray that we would stop. If you tell us to go, I pray that we would go. If you tell us to turn to the left or turn to the right, I pray that we would respond just like the apostles, immediately, without question. Teach us, God. Teach us to believe by faith in you, that when you call us, you will equip us. Let each and every person in this room feel so close in their relationship to the Holy Spirit that they hear your still small voice telling them, walk in this way. Walk with me. God, we just love you so very, very much. We pray that you would bless the rest of our day, the rest of our week. God, that it would just be filled with you and that our minds would be steadfast upon you. To you be the glory and all of it, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.